The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good afternoon, everyone. I hope you are ready for today's show. And guess what? We have an amazing show lined up for you today. And thank you to everyone that would have sent messages about last week's show. Stacey, if you are listening, your show left quite an impact. I got so many questions, so many comments. And yeah, I'm sure you gained quite a bit of followers after that and your viral news piece. So that was an enjoyable show. Thank you, everyone who commented. If you want to text in today's show, I'm going to give the numbers early. It's 422-4796, 422-4796. That's if you want to go ahead and chime in and add to the conversation. If you want to ask a question of the guests that we have tonight, then go ahead and text in 422-4796. And if you just tuned in, this is Beyond the Rock. I am your host, Dazzy. And guess what? I have an amazing show lined up for you tonight. I'm super excited about this guest because not only is she amazing and a phenomenal Bohemian that is doing just, you know, the biggest things abroad, right? We're going to talk a little bit more about that, but she's also a good friend of mine. So super excited to have her on tonight to have this conversation, and we're going to get right into it in just a second. Before we do that, though, I just want to say that if you know a Bahamian that is abroad, that is doing amazing things, it doesn't matter where they are. They can be in Asia, you know, any part of Europe. It doesn't matter. And they want to either be featured on the show or, you know, that they would be a good fit, please go ahead and reach out to me. I'm easiest to reach on Facebook, but you can go ahead and email me as well. On Facebook, just type in Odaz, O-D-A-Z, Lightborn Benaby, and my name will pop right up. You can also message the page. Just type in Beyond the Rock right there on Facebook and go ahead and send a message. Or you can email me at hello@GoRockstarDigital.com. So it's super easy. Go ahead and send in your submissions. Thank you to those that have reached out already. I will be giving you a call shortly. But yeah, last week was an amazing time. We had, you know, quite the interesting time. We talked about not only Stacey's travels, but also eating escapades or lack of. And we just had a phenomenal time. So I'm really liking the way that this show is, you know, I like how it's coming together, right? I wasn't 100% sure in the inception how it would turn out. And the reason why is because I got a lot of opinions, right? So some people, you know, they were like, nobody wants to hear that. People are not interested. But so far, I'm very pleased to say that it's being very well received and everyone is enjoying it. And I'm enjoying having the conversations as well. I'm not going to tease who we're going to have next week, but tonight, and I don't know if she's queued up already. Is she on with us yet? Kermit, is she here? Okay, good. So tonight, let me tell you who we're talking to. And this is going to be a very interesting show because there's little elements of it, just one or two that are going to actually piggyback off of last week's show. One or two things that I mentioned that are going to tie in really well. So I hope you do enjoy it. So tonight we are talking to Stephanie Clare, and she's the founder of Coastal Loss Adjusters and a Bahamian that is doing some amazing things abroad. So if you're just tuning in, this is Beyond the Rock. I'm your host, Dazzy. And let me just give the text lines one more time. 422-4796. Please do not text me directly. I'm guilty of this sometimes with other hosts, but it's easier to just send it to the text line. 422-4796. And I will go ahead and read your questions. So, Stephanie, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Hear me okay?
Yes, I can hear you fine.
Okay, good. Hopefully the rest of the Bahamas can hear you as well. And not just the Bahamas, but because they always get very upset when I don't acknowledge them, but all of our listeners from around the world. We have listeners from So far, I think it's every, well, except for two, but every continent except two. So welcome, welcome, welcome. So Stephanie, we're going to get right into it, right? I want you, first of all, to kind of just introduce yourself to anyone that doesn't know, and we will get right into it. But just kind of tell them, you know, who you are, what it is that you do, just to kind of set the backdrop.
Well, I'm Stephanie, and I mean, I feel like a lot of people know me. I used to be an insurance agent in Nassau. Grew up there. My mom's Greek. My daddy's from Bryland. I went to St. Andrews.
Bahamian.
That's kind of my story. Yeah. Like, was it 8 generations? So anyway, I got to be honest with you. I really enjoyed listening to last week's show with Stacy, and I'm just gonna get straight to the point. I moved over to the States about 2 months before my 40th birthday.
Okay, why did you move?
Because honestly, Odaz,
yes,
I wanted a husband. I wanted to get married.
Hold on, wait, scratch 1 second. Okay, so I didn't anticipate. See, now I love what you're doing, and I love that y'all do this to me, right? But I didn't expect to quite take the conversation in that direction. So you moved, and this is, okay, my text line is already lighting up, right? So you moved to do what again? Say that again?
You didn't know this is going to be a love show, were you?
No.
I was laughing so hard at Stacey's stuff.
When I tell you, Stacey completely caught me off guard. I had no idea that that was coming in. So I really, what I'm saying is that you moved out of the Bahamas, you moved abroad right before your 40th birthday because you wanted a husband. Was your mission successful? Yes or no? And now I know the answer to that.
Yes. Yes. Now I am getting married in March.
Yes.
Now, let me just say.
Uh-huh. Go ahead.
Thank you. And it is not for the lack of marriage proposals because, you know, as a Bahamian woman.
Yes.
We get on a daily basis, at least between 4 and 7 marriage proposals.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. In fact, they set the stage
at the
quickly.
ATM machine.
Oh, yeah. The gas station. They're like, you know, do you have a husband?
Oh, yes.
Yes or no?
Yeah.
So, yes, I agree. So, congratulations on the upcoming wedding.
You.
So, you moved over to get a husband. Okay, good. We'll get that out of the way. So, let's just talk very quickly a little bit. I like to get a little bit of background in terms of journey because a lot of times when persons move, there's a story that you don't know about, right? So, when they're doing things abroad, you know, there's like a backstory. So tell us a little bit about your journey. Obviously, you moved away for that motivation, but what was the light bulb moment that made you say, okay, you know what, I'm going to do it now? Because why then, right? Was it the time of year? Was it the upcoming birthday? Was it a failed previous relationship? I'm getting all in your business. But since you already opened the door, let's walk right through it, right? So what was the deciding factor? What made you decide, you know what? That's it. I'm moving abroad. I still love the Bahamas, but time to go. What was it?
There was a moment, and it was when Hurricane Dorian hit the Bahamas. I'm in the insurance business. I was an insurance agent, and it was when Dorian hit. For me, there was a lot of things that happened at that time. But a big part of me, the big realization for me was, I promised you I wasn't going to do like a Cat Williams and talk about the whole insurance
industry. Stephanie, this is a safe space. Only you and I are in the studio. Say whatever it is. Kermit looking up like, yeah, okay. You go ahead. No, this is a safe space. Only you and I and a couple hundred thousand people are listening. Say whatever it is you need to say. Whatever it is you need. I'll DoorDash you whatever that is Shannon Sharp was giving Kat, right? But no, tell us. Give us a little bit. Just a little. Go ahead.
Man, that was so funny when he says, what do you say? Oh, I could say it Bahamian style and insurance. Well, there's 1,000 insurance agents licensed in the Bahamas, and you want to buy insurance from Mr. Potato Head?
Right. There you go. Exactly. Exactly.
What so, did he say?
So
all these scripts in Hollywood, and you hire Mr. Potato Head?
Yeah. No, he wasn't being very nice to Steve Harvey at all, but I thought it was hilarious. That was actually the highlight of that show for me because he is so clever, and people don't realize that Cat Williams is actually Mensa, right? Which means that on the scale of intelligence, he is like, you know, right up at the very top. So him being neurodivergent, I knew, and having a little bit of liquor in him, I knew it was going to be an amazing show. And then Shannon is not a journalist, so I knew it was going to go in, you know, direction. So this insurance tea you know, don't distract me. I'm very focused. So give us just a little bit. What was that like? You don't have to go too deep, but you say that as a part of the realization. So what happened there? What realization did you have at Dorian?
I'm just joking around. I was an insurance agent, but here's the thing. And I had my little customers, you know, and some people bought insurance from me, but there's literally 1,000 licensed agents in the Bahamas.
Yes.
And there's probably only about 5 licensed loss adjusters down there. And when Hurricane Dorian hit, everybody called me, people who were not my customers. There were lawyers that called me, real estate lawyers that needed help.
Why were they, not to interject, but why were they calling you exactly? Because if the disaster hit, people were calling you, it sounds like, who didn't have active insurance with you then. Was it for advice? What was it?
Yeah, it was just for advice. They weren't my clients. It was people were calling me. There were lawyers. There were property managers. There were homeowners who didn't buy insurance from me.
Okay.
They were begging me for help because the thing is, I'm a chartered insurance practitioner, and I've been doing this for 22 years. And yes, I was an insurance agent selling insurance, but the beginning of my career was as a claims adjuster. So I had this claims experience, and all of a sudden when Hurricane Dorian and someone was looking at their roof on the ground, you know, they wanted someone with a lot of experience and a lot of expertise to assist them. And because I was an insurance agent, I couldn't help anybody who would call me because I didn't have the right license. And the way to get that license to help people, anybody who wants help, is to become a public insurance adjuster. And I don't want to get rambled too long.
No,
about
no, no. We are going to. No. It's not a ramble at all. But I definitely see the tie-in, and I'm glad that you are expounding a little bit on this. So, people were calling you after Dorian. You couldn't help them with your existing skill set and license. You had the skill set, but you didn't have the license. And so that was a part of the. So you sounds like you had a couple epiphanies one time. You know, I can't help people when they need the help that they depend on me for. I need a husband, right? So it sounds like this is all coming together. Is there anything else?
Well, there were two parts to it. It was when I realized that I needed to shift my career. And the only way to do that was in the United States, because public adjusting is very much an American thing. And I knew if I wanted to top up my skill set, learn some stuff, I needed to come over here, because back home, you only get a chance every 5 or 10 years to work a hurricane.
This is true.
Over here, like, I've worked so many fires. I mean, we don't get a lot of fire in the Bahamas, but I've worked so many tornadoes and so many water damage claims that I get to travel a lot. And I just every day, you know, and everything in the United States is like it warp speed. I was really able to bump up my skill set. And then I got my license back home to help people. So next time the storm hits and y'all call me, I can actually do something for you.
Good stuff. So I'm going to get a little deeper into that. I just want to read a couple texts that came in. And this is hilarious because I'm going to read this because you did not mention this at all, but someone texted that said, they're basically shouting you out as a violin teacher. Okay. So the text says, good night to Stephanie, my violin teacher. Hello. So, you know, you're not even giving us all of everything, right? So this is someone saying hi. Another text says, good show. Glad to hear you back on the air, Dazzy. I just want to say hi to Varys and Higgs. Hi to Stephanie. Okay. So this is, I'm guessing, one of your former coworkers. Tell us a little bit about the violin. What is that? What's happening there? Are you still teaching abroad or?
No. I used to play violin when I was a kid, and then for about a year, I took a break from. England for about a year, and that was truly one of the highlights of my life. Just being able to explain these complicated things to people. And I think that's why I like doing insurance claims now, and insurance and violin. It's all very complicated stuff, but you get to explain it to people. And those kids that I taught, Odaz, I mentioned to you earlier today, one of my beloved students.
Yes.
I don't want to call the name, but
no,
they just meant so much to me, you know? And I think about my students all the time, and that was truly like the highlight of my life. And but I'm not playing anymore over here, and I'm really sad to say that. I did play a little bit at church at Christmas, but that's about the limit of my playing these days. So
no worries.
Honestly, I told you, did you not listen to the beginning of the show? I'm 43 now. My neck hurts.
Your neck hurts. No worries. So I have a text here. It says, Dazzy, please stop it. We want to hear about the dating. Please stop it. Okay. My apologies, right? So what we're going to do, we're going to talk about the dating aspect on the other side of the show, right? So you're going to have to tune in if you want to hear the juicy bits there, right? It's so funny, Stephanie, I did not foresee this show taking this direction at all. But since y'all are taking it there, we're going to go ahead and do it. So I have a question for you. And this is talking a little bit about, you know, being abroad. Let's talk about your reception and your adjustment. And the reason why I want to talk about this is because in our first show that was also extremely well received, and I'm still getting calls about it, with Kemi in Switzerland, a lot of local Bahamians sometimes feel that, you know, their skill set will not either be respected abroad, or they feel slightly intimidated that, you know, going into a bigger pool, that, you know, they just may not have the same level of success or recognition that they either would have here or aspire to have here. So what was your integration and acceptance like when you went abroad and you said, hey, you know, I'm here. My entire career was in the Bahamas, right? You didn't have any prior work experience. What was the reception to the job market like for you?
Oh, it was, people were fighting over me.
Oh, wow.
Honestly.
Just like that.
It was like, yeah. I mean,
and you're not in a very competitive area, so that says a lot, because you are in North Carolina. So, you know, the population is not as dense as, like, you know, a Florida or a Washington or a New York. So
they were still fighting. It was crazy. Like, I had so many, and I still get all these calls and like for these positions, and I honestly, Bahamians are our own worst enemy. Like, we think, I don't know where we get this idea from, and I felt that way too, but, you know, when I came over here, people, like, I got a lot of job offers, and I could pick anywhere I wanted to work, and but I knew what I wanted to do, and I knew, honestly, ending up in North Carolina was the best part, because in Miami, you got to speak fluent. If you want to work in South Florida, even in the insurance business, like, you have to speak Spanish fluently. Like, I did look around for a job there, and it was just, they loved my resume, but the language skills weren't there. So I had to go a little further north into the English speaking America.
Right.
And it's been great.
And that is, that is the absolute truth. Because I'm in Miami as well, and they just kind of assumed that I spoke Spanish. And I was like, no, there's not enough to make what I do make sense, right? Just rudimentary. But somehow they got, you know, confused thinking that we were fluent here. So no, you're absolutely correct. And it's absolutely mandatory, because when I said that I was beginner level, they were like, okay, thank you so much, but no, thank you. So that is absolutely correct. So you landed in North Carolina, you're sending your resume out, you're networking, people are fighting over your skill set, you're surprised, you're working in the industry. What was the adaptation like outside of that? So in terms of, and I know a bit of the answer to this because I actually visited you. So let me just do this before I go to a break. So if you all were listening last week and I was talking to Stacy about, you know, going up in the mountains and thinking that I was going to die. Stephanie, I hate to expose you like this, but Stephanie was actually the driver. Okay.
My driving. Yeah.
I love her. Right. But let me just set the stage. So I know Stephanie in the Bahamas to drive a fairly small car. You know, we're hugging the road, you know, we're in a car. So we're going up to the mountains, and she's in the biggest, truck, Silverado that I've ever seen. Right. full four-door, full extended cab. I was like, Stephanie, you know, you are really doing America. You're doing America, right? And we're going up to the mountains, and the roads are about the size that a Suzuki would comfortably fit on, right? And it's dual carriageway, right? And so, yeah, Stephanie, I can tell you this now that my feet are firmly planted on the ground, but I really thought that we would be memorialized all together, you know, with the angel wings in the hands. I thought that, you know, we would all together backseat, and they were completely fine, but I was losing it. So sorry to expose you like that. I did think
that was,
you know,
pretty bad.
Yeah, but I will say,
I had to take you to see snow, man. I had to take you up in the mountains to see snow when you were visiting.
But you know what part I think was the highlight of it, though? I will say this, the mining, right? Where we got to, and you know, I'm an earth sign, even though I don't believe in all of that. I'm a Virgo. So that really healed me on the way back down, being able to do, you know, the little mining and dig in the dirt and get all of those little precious stones. I think Alia was the one that scored, I guess, the best. She actually got real gems, right? But it was a lovely, amazing time. And it's so interesting that as large as the U.S. is and as small as a state can be, there's so many different landscapes, right? So that was absolutely incredible because it was like being somewhere completely different. And I, in hindsight, I enjoyed it. But during the ride up, I remember looking at poor little Ginger like, well, this is how we go, girl. You know, it's been a good ride, but I think
we're all going to go together.
Right.
We're going to roll down together.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. We're going to go. But no, it was perfectly safe in hindsight. It was just me not being used to the altitude and to the difference. Right. But it was perfectly safe in hindsight. And I was probably just a bit of a baby. But yeah, I just wanted to give everyone a little bit of clarity on that. So I have another text that's coming in that says, and this is the same texter, by the way, that says, y'all are really going to make me wait until the end of the show. Can you please ask Stephanie if she did it in person or was there dating apps involved? So we can give a little bit of that because I want to talk a little bit more about what your business actually is. We'll do that part of it. But just as a tidbit, your current husband, they just want to know, did you meet him online or was it in person?
This is kind of...
Please, yeah, go ahead. This is what we're here for. Go ahead.
Let me tell you something.
Yes.
I went out on a date with an accountant.
Oh, was a real accountant or a TikTok accountant?
No, an actual boring forensic insurance accountant. Very boring.
Oh,
forensic accounting.
And insurance. Okay, that's very niche.
Went on a date with him.
Okay.
There was zero chemistry, but
right.
He's now my coworker.
Okay. Right. Yes.
You know.
Yes.
He said you have to send me your resume.
Yes.
You have an amazing resume.
German Shepherd
and
guy.
Now a coworker. So. Yes.
Yes.
I found a job. I found my job on a date.
Right. Wow.
But I also and. That was on a dating app. So the dating apps can pay off economically as well as romantically. Just saying.
She means through a job, people. Because when you say economically, they may think something else. So, okay. So
no
you.
TikTok, no TikTok accountant.
No TikTok accountant. So which app was it?
An old school accountant and an old school resume. And that's how he introduced me to my job. And now we're coworkers.
Okay. So which app was it?
Oh, that one? That was Match.com.
Match.com. Okay. There you go, texter. Match.com. So they just texted back. They said they didn't know that still existed. Yeah. Well, apparently so. So that was Match.com.
Well, that's where the accountants hang out. You can find a job on Match. I don't know about a husband.
All right.
You know,
there you go. Well, that's something.
I have a job there.
All right. So I just want to read through some of the comments. So Stephanie, when you messaged, when you reshared the post earlier to say that you were going to be on this show, there were some comments that were there. And one of them that really stuck was, and I'm going to call her name right on the air, Gandhi Thompson, right? And she said something about the UK. So I was like, you know, I'm specifically going to ask now about this, right? And so tell us a little bit, because it seems like the U.S. was in your first trek out of here. So what were you doing in the U.K.? Were you living there? Were you working there? Why did you not go back, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, tell us. Let's tell us a little bit of that story. We could keep Yanni business safe, but tell us.
Yeah, yeah. I was in the UK with Gandhi in 2005, and I'm very proud to say that both of us were training at Lloyd's of London.
Oh,
and we both have our ACII, and so yeah, she and I, we sort of lived together in a student accommodation. I think it was for about 6 months in 2005, and we had a great time together and studying and doing insurance, and then. I remember cooking with her. She's an amazing cook. We would be cooking our food together.
Yes.
And she's really like a sister to me from that time. So that was great.
So why? So, okay. So you've lived in both places. So why America, right? Why the US and not the UK?
It's just.
Was one more convenient? UK. Did the stars align easier for North Carolina? Like, what was the...
Yeah. I have to say, like, when I... A long time ago, when I decided to go into the insurance business, it was because you can work anywhere you want to in the world. You know, if you're an attorney, you have to be... You can only work in certain jurisdictions.
Yes.
You know, certain laws apply. But insurance, if you get an insurance... My insurance qualifications are British, with Gandhi back in 05. You know, we both have British qualifications, but it doesn't really mean you're limited because insurance is kind of the same principles all around the world. So it was easy to move around in that particular career. So, it was just easy for me to come to the States and they understood and respected my British qualifications. And it's just, you know, but again, I was looking for a husband, and what better place to find a good, God-fearing man but in the Bible Belt in North Carolina?
That's a good point. That's a good point. So I just want to say, because we're gonna take a break in just a second, but I want to say hi. You had some people to say hi to, I think, in your comments as well, and I recognize a familiar name, Zach. Bonzak, just want to say hi to him. He's no longer in the Bahamas.
Oh, yes.
Is he your neighbor? Are you going to get in Zach business too? He did say to say hi to the Bahamas, though. So we just want to say hi to him.
I have to tell you.
Tell us.
Listen, he is a god. He is. Can you hear me?
Yeah, hello? Go ahead. No, we are all ears.
Hey, yeah.
Yeah.
He is a godsend because if y'all remember Zach Bonchek,
yes.
He used to be a real estate agent.
He used to do the training.
Bahamas Realty.
Right.
He used to teach real estate classes,
yes.
But
yes.
He moved up to Charlotte, North Carolina, about 9 years ago. So ooh, he's been out and out. But I think he used to come back, I think, to teach. But
well,
anyway.
Right. Go ahead.
When I moved up here, I was, and that's another insurance thing, too. The construction up here is so different.
It is.
And they have like little thin houses.
Yes.
I know they don't have burglar bars.
No.
Everything is like this vinyl plank siding. It's like paper mache and saran wrap.
Oh, it is.
And Zach, I told him, I said, you got to find me a place to live, but any old Joneser could punch through this wall and
absolutely.
Snatch me out of my bed, right?
Right. Find me a brick house, please.
Zach understood my fears. And he says, first of all, we don't have that many Joneser. Relax. And then he says, and you need those kind of funky houses, the expansion and contraction with the cold and the different seasonal changes. And he says, don't worry about burglar bars. Like, you know, we don't, but he's a good man. And he found me, at least a townhouse to live in that was brick. So he did find me a brick house because as a Bahamian and the hurricanes and the storms and the Jonesers, like I
right.
need something solid between me and the road. And Zach found it.
All right. Well, shout out to Zach. That's amazing. Yeah, I actually met Zach at the time I was working at the Tribune, and he was at, I think it was Palm Key. I distinctly remember. And then I remember him also from, you know, being in the real estate world. So yeah, definitely saying hi to him. We are going to just pivot just a little bit and take a quick break. On the other side, though, Stephanie, when we get back, I want to talk a little bit about public adjusting. I've got a couple of texts that came in that I need to read, but we're going to talk about public adjusting, what it is, what, you know, why do we need it, et cetera. We're going to get into that. And then we're going to talk a little bit more about, because I have another text about the dating, right? So they want a little bit more detail. So we're going to touch on that. So let's just pivot and take a quick break. If you're just tuning in, My name is Dazzy. You are listening to Beyond the Rock, and I am talking to Stephanie Claire tonight of Coastal Loss Adjusters. And so we're just going to take a quick break. Stick and stay. On the other side, we're going to get into more of the things that you actually care about.
Wait, why you look so mashed up, like clothes are the...
No, wait, just a hard day, wait.
Hard day? What happened? The breakfast lady ran out of tuna and gritsy.
We need to start joking with everything, you know. This serious, boy. This real serious, boy.
Wait, what's serious? Tell me.
All right, well, today, boss gave this boy one big, big contract. And nobody else get a chance and nobody say nothing.
Boy, you know that ain't right. You know government contracts ain't supposed to go that way.
Yeah, but nobody's saying nothing. Boss man just tell people to sign the papers. Then he sent me to meet his boy downtown and collect this envelope.
You need to tell somebody. You need to become a whistleblower.
You know I's a real man, but I never blow no whistle. I be drunk all my life in Junkano.
No way. A whistleblower is someone who tells people what they see when they see something wrong happening at work.
But I ain't no whistleblower, and I ain't no snitch. I still wait there, you know.
Boy, ain't nobody gonna know it's you. All you gotta do is call Crime Stoppers, or you could text them from inside the Crack Crime Bahamas app. They don't ask about you, and your call goes straight through to Miami, so nobody know who you is. And if you text, your message get mixed up like Kong Salad.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Loss of family members is very isolating, and loss appreciate when others have shared their grief. If you can't be there in person, go to the Nassau Guardian's website online at thenassauguardian.com and visit our obituary link. The Nassau Guardian's interactive obituary link allows you to read the funeral announcement, express condolences, or place photos on the online guestbook for one full year. Losing a loved one is painful, but that pain isn't the worst thing to happen. Friends, loved ones, colleagues, and neighbors who ignore the loss compound the pain. Should the bereaved family wish to place the obituary and photos on our obituary site, just contact the Guardian's funeral industry partners or the Nassau Guardian. Remember, there isn't one magic right thing to say to someone experiencing loss that will make the loss less painful or easier to bear. The Nassau Guardian's obituary link, available online at thenassauguardian.com.
We are back. You are listening to Beyond the Rock, and I'm your host, Dazzy. And tonight, we are talking to Stephanie Claire. And let me tell you, she's giving way more details than I anticipated. And we're talking about, you know, public adjusting. We're talking about insurance. And we're talking about Stephanie's trek across the water to not only help the local economy in a different way with, you know, a skill set that the Bahamas actually needs, but also she left because she wanted to get married and she wanted to find a husband, right? So we are talking about all of that tonight. Please go ahead and send in your text. I see the ones that came and I will read them, I promise. 422-4796, 422-4796. And we are going to get right into it. So Stephanie, are you still with us?
Yes.
Okay. So I have a text that came. Yeah. So there's a text that just came and it said, ask Stephanie if she prefers North Carolina over Fort Lauderdale. I have a job offer. I'm trying to choose which part of the U.S. to settle in. So I'm guessing that this texter has, texter, do you have a job offer in Fort Lauderdale? And are you thinking of going abroad? Or are you working for a company that has a few different locations? Please let us know. But yeah, so a lot of obviously... anywhere in Florida is like, you know, the second Bahamas, right? So you being a little higher up, I guess they want to know if you prefer that, if you had to choose.
Well, it depends. I mean,
what were you looking for, I guess? Or
I really do miss like, I wish I could be in South Florida for certain aspects because I really miss the food, honestly. Ooh. All the food here,
right.
I mean, that is not that great. But also, I miss the community. I have a lot of friends in Fort Lauderdale. Like many Bahamians, it's almost like home to us. But for me, I honestly couldn't find a proper job where they only wanted English in the whole of South Florida. So, but fun is, you would be surprised at how many Bahamians there are hiding across North Carolina.
Oh, yeah.
And there is a Facebook group.
Let's shout them out.
Bahamians. Yes, Bahamians in North Carolina.
Hold on, and, let's see. Bahamians. Facebook?
Bahamians in North Carolina.
If you're listening, go ahead and go to Facebook and type this in. There it is. Bahamians in North Carolina. It's quite a large group as well.
And they have about
149
members.
It's
like 150.
Yeah.
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 So, but there's an embassy. And it's funny. All the Bahamians in North Carolina, it's really funny because we're like the low-key crew. And you have like the Bahamians in Atlanta and they're like, woo, Bahamas. But then like,
oh, they are very loud,
there's,
ma'am.
There's like a whole...
Stephanie, let me just stop you right there and tell you, before you continue, when I released this flyer, I got a message and they were like, how could you interview a Bahamian abroad in North Carolina before you got to Atlanta? And I was like, oh, I didn't know that there was a hierarchy of Bahamianness, right? So we're going to get to you. I have a couple people that, you know, I would like to speak. I don't know if they're going to agree to. Not everyone can, you know, likes to do this. But yeah, so I believe you 100%. So the ones that are the quieter Bahamians, you're saying, are the ones in North Carolina, not that loud crew. I love y'all, but
yeah,
you represent very heavily.
We're hiding out. But there's a Bahamian food truck. I think it's Mia's Kitchen in Raleigh.
Yes.
There was a whole, the only, I miss the Bahamians in North Carolina Christmas party, but I met up with a bunch of them when Jaque came up to do a play.
Jaque was starring in a play.
And he came up to Greensboro and we went to see the show. And you wouldn't believe, a lot of Bahamians drove from all corners of North Carolina to see him. We had a meetup about 2 years ago in Asheville and Paul Lowe organized it. You remember?
Oh, Paul Lowe. Yes.
He used to write a column in the Tribune.
Yes. So just want to say hi to Paul.
You knew he was in town because his license plate says Conky Joe on it.
Right.
It's a North Carolina license plate. So you always see Conky Joe pull up and you're like, oh, well, here's the party, you know? So
absolutely. And then I also met another incredible Bahamian. No, you go ahead. I'll say
Elvado.
After. Yes.
Elvado,
that's what I was about to
bring Lounge.
Yes. That's what I was about to bring up. Yeah. Amazing Bahamian doing incredible things as well. Absolutely.
Yeah, we got representation in North Carolina. So
you got some stuff going on. So let's pivot just a little bit. So public adjusting, right? I just want to read this text very quickly. So it says, "Hi Dazzy, you guys are talking about insurance and public adjusting. I don't think that is the same thing. Can you please go a little more in depth?" So yes, we're going to go a little more in depth in that. So tell us a little bit about what public adjusting actually is. So what it is that you do all day, right? What is it? Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, a public adjuster is a licensed insurance adjuster. Just like anybody else in the property insurance profession, the difference with a public adjuster is they do not work for the insurance company.
So you work for the client.
You work for the client. So
okay.
Just like the example of when everybody called me, asking me to help them with their insurance claim, I can't do it because I don't work for the insurance company. I'm not licensed. I'm an agent. You can't do that. You have to either hire an attorney to assist you, or you can hire a public adjuster to negotiate your insurance claim for you.
Mm.
So it's very much a licensed insurance professional. It's an adjuster, just like the insurance adjusters that work for the company. You can hire your own private, but it's called a public adjuster, just like a public accountant. You can hire an accountant to do your accounting for you. You can hire a public adjuster to do your insurance adjusting for you. to negotiate with the insurance company. And the big thing in the Bahamas is you have a lot of property owners who don't live there, and they can't get there.
This is true.
Really want assistance with somebody overseeing and their insurance claim on their behalf because they can't be there to negotiate for themselves. That was a lot of the calls that I got were a lot of them were second homeowners.
Yeah, no, this is 100% correct. I remember which hurricane it was, but a friend of mine was out of town, and I remember because they are second homeowners, right? And I remember that this hurricane was predicted to be, was it Joaquin? I think it was Joaquin. And I remember a friend of mine calling me frantically, and he was like, can you please take my SUV to higher ground, right? Because, yeah. and that happens, right? So, you know, I had to go ahead, you know, grab their vehicle, take it, you know, up to higher ground, check on their place. So, no, absolutely, I could see where that's needed. The only thing is, though, Stephanie, I will say, because someone already texted and says, this sounds expensive, right? I guess they're talking about the process. What does hiring a public adjuster cost? Like, is this something for the average person? You know, what are the fees like? Like, tell us a little bit about that entire process. Because, you know, if you are, you know, a hurricane, you know, decimates your house, right? A lot of times persons may not come further. So kind of tell us about how that works.
I would honestly say most people don't need a public adjuster.
Okay. So this is for...
There's about 2% of people who have really complicated insurance claims that need that professional assistance. And those people, you get charged just like a percentage on your claim, and you don't pay until after you pay a percentage out of the claim check that you get. So we don't get paid until you get paid. Until after you get paid.
Fair enough. I like that.
It's not something for everyone, but the people that call and wanted the help, it's there. You say it's expensive, but I mean, when you're negotiating, some of these claims are hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Right.
You know, are you really going to step over a dollar to pick up a penny? You know, you're losing out. You know, it's a big negotiation, and your buildings that you own and your property insurance, it can be complicated. But, you know, a lot of people, let me tell you about the people that don't need us. The people that don't need us are the people who don't have insurance.
Oh, wow.
The people who don't need us are the people who are underinsured. You know, why would we step in? We only need to come in there, negotiate complicated claims, and there's got to be something to work with, you know? So I would encourage all Bahamians to make sure you have adequate insurance. Make sure you have insurance in the first place. And also people, I have to say, we don't get a lot of fires in the Bahamas, but I've worked so many fires over here. It's really scary. And afford hurricane insurance, and I understand because it's crazy expensive.
It is.
Please. At least get a non-hurricane policy on your home. At least get a little fire insurance policy because it can happen. Also, water damage, burst pipes. You know, it's crazy.
So I have a text here. So it says, "Hi Dazzy, loving the show. Tuning in from Abaco. Please ask Stephanie if this covers the entire Bahamas."
Yes. Actually, well, most of our work, honestly, is Grand Bahama and Abaco.
Grand Bahama and Abaco. Okay.
Nassau rarely gets hit. Yeah.
Yeah. And when we do, it's not too devastating. Although I will say on New Year's night, I was at a particular resort and a little tiny piece of that did catch fire and I was pretty shocked. Right. So yeah, I was like, okay, Stephanie, you are in play, you know, get in here, you know.
So, usually it's a boat on Potter's Key that's burning up, though, or the tire yard.
Exactly, right. No, but we typically don't have a lot of fires here, you know, and I think it's, you know, based on our, you know, construction as well, there's probably some contributing factors, but definitely hurricanes are the largest threat. So I have another text here. Let me just read this very quickly. So it says, "Good night, loving the show about insurance. Please ask Stephanie if when one puts in a claim, Does she need to physically be there as she is based in the U.S.? So could you tell us a little bit about, I guess, how that works? Because obviously Coastal serves the Bahamas and, you know, well, Stephanie, you actually live both places, right? I didn't want to talk your business too heavy.
Yeah,
but
I was home. I was home all summer. Right. I only come over here in the winter to handle these fires. There's right. nothing really for me to do. But I was home all summer.
So I hope that answers your question. So yeah, so she actually lives both places. It's just, you know, she's in the U.S. now. So if you have, I'm guessing, you know, a situation, you can go ahead and reach out to her. Do you have a contact number, Stephanie, that you can give out, or some email that they could go ahead and reach you? Just because I know that's going to be the other follow-up question. If they have questions about public adjustment.
My Bahamian cell phone is, and it's on all the time, 242-827-1171.
Okay, say that one more time.
827-1171.
Okay, that's pretty easy. 827-1171. Yeah, so text her. Just go ahead and message Stephanie directly, and she can go ahead and answer any questions you have. So let's just shift gears again just a little bit and talk a little bit more about just kind of like the work-life balance of being in North Carolina, because I know that's usually a question that we have. And the reason why I say that is, you know, when you work in the Bahamas, you get a lot of your cues from anecdotes and also, believe it or not, what you see on social media, what you see on television, right? And so work-life balance, the impression of an industry that you're in, it would seem that you did not have time to do. So tell us a little bit about, you know, what that was like in terms of integration. Do you work more hours there? Do you find that it's more efficient? You know, how was that transition for you?
I would say I work less hours over here.
I'm sorry, what? You work less?
I'd say I work less hours.
You mean less when you were in the Bahamas? Home. Is that what you?
Yeah. I had to work three times as hard to make.
Oh, you're saying you work less now that you're there, but when you're here, it was more.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying? Oh,
wow.
I work
a lot more. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Three times as hard.
Yeah. Listen, Bahamians, come on. You even the criminals have, like, regular jobs.
This
Every
is
Bahamian
true.
Is the hardest worker ever. Like, they
this
all have
true.
Four jobs. They all own, like, a little... They all have a job that they go to. They all, like... Then they drive a taxi on side. And then they have a little petty shop and a little business. And then they're selling... Got some other hustle... Like, Bahamians are the hardest workers. Come on, listen.
We are.
You heard my violin students.
Right.
I wasn't even talking about. For 5 years, I worked in insurance, and then after work, 5 days a week, I would go at 5 o'clock to go teach lessons every day after work and all day Saturday and play violin in church on Sunday. Like, when I tell you I work less over here, it's not, a 9 to 5. And then some weddings, you know. You're from a family of musicians.
Oh,
like,
yes.
I even played in a quartet with your brother. We
right.
used to hustle constantly. And your cousin?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. We played so much music just trying to hustle for an extra couple $100 on the weekend. So when I tell you, you know, it's not like a 9 to 5 job. It's just Bahamians work very hard. We have such a good work ethic.
We do work hard. We do. Go ahead. But I take a lot of issue. When people say that Bahamians are lazy, I'm like, no, we're not. We work very hard.
We're the hardest working people. And then I applied that work ethic over here. And like, I don't know. I got to say, like, I'm definitely, you know, they don't have a problem with me. They like me.
Right. Yeah. No, that's, you know, that narrative, I think, for the most part, was not necessarily our inherent narrative. I think that a lot of that was kind of handed to us. But I will tell you, over the past couple of weeks, just talking to Bahamians abroad, we are excelling. Right? We do amazing things. And I don't think that it's just because someone, I see your text here talking about the brain drain. And this text says, This text says, it's not that Bahamians aren't lazy. And I don't know who's sending this, right? I don't know if you're a Bahamian or you're not a Bahamian. But the text says, it's not that Bahamians aren't lazy. It's that there's a brain drain. So you are literally talking to the best of the best. I hear you, you know. But let me explain something to you. If you look at our trajectory and our application per capita in other regions as well, sports, the arts, right? We excel. I'm sorry. So I hear you and I understand what you're saying. And I experience the frustrations too of living here. But all I'm saying is extremely well, right? As a nation.
Yeah, at any level. Because I don't want to talk too many people's business, but right. I know plenty of Bahamians over here who are operating as police officers. And they have a beautiful home, couple of Ford Explorers, and right. they were not the most educated people. They were not from the best neighborhood. Right. They came over here and they're living a really great life I don't want to say too much, but there's plenty of Bahamians from who barely maybe even to make it past high school.
Right.
Who are living good over here. Yeah.
No, thank you for that perspective. I remember, and I'm walking a little bit in memory lane. So I remember, because I'm divorced now, back when I was married, I remember that, you know, early on in my career, I remember at the time really wanting to move abroad at certain points, you know? And I remember that being like, you know, you saw that as like, okay, this is where you can go to kind of apply your talents, right? And I remember that being the comparison point for me to look at, like, you know, look at what we're doing here, look at what you're doing there. Thankfully, you know, the online world and social media has, you know, been a great equalizer of a lot of things. So if you're listening to this show, I just want to encourage you, you don't necessarily have to pick up and go. This is not what these shows are about. You know, the Bahamas is, you know, still a beautiful place to live. I know what the U.S. Embassy is saying. I mean, I see it, right? And they are correct in their warnings, right? I'm not going to disregard what they're saying. But two things can be true sometimes at the same time. So you can both, you know, get work or find opportunities online while you're decision to transition, because a lot of things sometimes keep you in the country of origin. You know, you may have family or you may have children that are, you know, grounded and doing very well here. So this show is definitely not about, you know, recruiting, obviously, Bahamians to go abroad. You can thrive anywhere. But sometimes, you know, you will do yourself a disservice if you just do not shop your skill set around. Like Stephanie said, you know, the integration was not very difficult. People were fighting over her. And I have heard these stories repeatedly, right? So obviously we are doing something good here in the Bahamas. And, you know, we are talented people. We're intelligent. You know, we have, you know, just so much to offer in all areas, you know, sports and the arts. And that's what I want to do for upcoming shows. And I'm talking to some people now, trying to get them. It's someone I want to really do an interview with, but my goodness, he is so microphone shy, right? I'm trying to convince him, but he's doing amazing things in the arts abroad. He's over on the West Coast. And I really, really hope that, I know you're listening, sir. Please, please, let's do this interview, please. And we excel. So I just want to encourage everyone, you know, go on LinkedIn, look for opportunities that you can do remotely, kind of get your feet wet, because what is going to save our country and to save the economy and to make sure that, you know, Bahamians are getting the best of what they can is to take advantage of just the low-hanging fruit, right? We are an English-speaking country. We are native English speakers. Do you know how valuable that is, right? That's extremely valuable. It's something that we have not tapped into. Like, you know, we can have call centers. We can do all of it. If you look at what India is doing, right? And their English is not their first language. I mean, obviously, there's a high integration of English in their curriculums, but we are native English speakers, right? And so there's still so many projects that we could go ahead and do and just integrate that we have not taken advantage of. And this is what this show is about, on the rock, like bridging the gap of not just what's here, but what is there to do abroad as well. You can keep the Bahamas your home. This will always be home. But there are also opportunities there. So Stephanie, we are definitely winding down, but I still want to talk a little bit about, because I have a text that's coming in. And let me just say it again, 422-4796, 422-4796. Please don't text my phone directly. It's a lot harder to read the text from there, but go ahead and send us your questions, 422-4796. So someone here has a question that said, how quickly, and this is hilarious, right? So they want to know, how quickly did you meet your now husband while you were over there dating, right? So they want to know. So the text reads, please ask Stephanie, what was the time frame from her foot touching the ground to actually saying that, okay, I met the one? So were you like signing up for Match, you know, in the airport? Did you at least get to the apartment? Like, what happened there?
Okay.
How long did it take?
I have to say there was a moment. Okay. I'm in North Carolina and I started going on dates, like the date with the accountant,
right,
who was from Philadelphia.
Shout out to the accountant.
And I was going out with people who were like from New York City, and I just was dating the wrong people. So I wasted a lot of time.
What do you mean then the wrong? Stop. No. Stop. Scratch right there. What do you mean the wrong people? You mean it wasn't a good match in terms of values or lifestyle? What was the wrong people? You wanted different things? What do you mean?
All of that. I was dating these people that your mother told you should date. Like, oh, go find a good accountant. Go find a banker, a lawyer to date, right?
Okay.
These are like in Charlotte. There's a
New huge
Yorkers who moved down here.
Banking sector, and
hi guys,
yeah.
And they were just jokey, and they weren't really what's right for me.
Okay.
But I came home for Christmas, and I went to Spanish Wells.
Yes,
and I was sitting there, and I went fishing on the reef, right through the Narrows, because like I said, my family's from Harbor Island. I went to the reef where my father used to take us fishing, and Odaz, I was reeling in those fish into the boat like crazy.
Mm.
And I said, I need to start dating some country boys because I am a Conky Joe. I am a redneck. I'm a fisherman. I'm a fishing. I'm killing it.
Please
stop
it.
All these fish. I need to find a country boy. And then I started getting away from those professionals and dating.
Right.
And I'm marrying a guy who's a nurse. He can change a car tire. Those
right.
bankers couldn't change a car tire to save their life. And
right.
He's a down-home country boy. And he has a country accent. He sounds like he's from Spanish Wells. And he's my love. And we're getting married, and I'm so excited. So
I like that. I like that.
Yeah,
congratulations to you. I like that.
I'm from the island.
I'm having an epiphany as well. I think I'm having the opposite problem because, you know, and you always go to what there's a lot of like family of origin stuff there, right? So my dad, he was a musician, but he also did like fine carpentry, right? Like what they call finish work, you know? And so I tried, but yeah, I think my strategy is backwards. Because, yeah, I'm having the opposite problem. You know, the blue-collar guys are like, you're a little too fancy, right? So I do like that. And the socialization of the musician part of my dad, I think, was the most prevalent one. Because, you know, I did do, like, go to with him and, you know, things like that. So, yeah, that's very interesting that you had that epiphany and you decided to apply that. That's quite good. Text, I hope that answered your question.
It was after 1 month when I had that epiphany. A month later, I found the guy, but I had wasted probably a year of dating the wrong guys. But once I had the epiphany, it was within about a month or two. When I started dating the country boys, I found my husband within a month.
Wow. Okay. So yeah, a month. So text, I hope that answered your question. So Stephanie, this has been a fun conversation. I've really enjoyed this. And those that are listening, I hope that you enjoyed it as well. These episodes can also be found on YouTube. There's, you know, we are obviously on a live stream, but you can find them after the show and you can go ahead and replay them, right? So please go ahead and reach out to me if you have difficulty finding it, but it's pretty easy to find. But I really enjoyed this conversation, Stephanie. Thank you so much for coming on. And thanks for telling us about, you know, the public adjusting and what it is that you're doing and also your time abroad and your integration. We have 30 seconds left. If you had one parting thought that you wanted to just give to a Bahamian listening about your entire experience, it could be anything. What would that be?
I'll be home in the summer, guys. Like, y'all think I left or something. Like, I'll be home after the wedding. I was home all last summer. I was home the Christmas before fishing.
And what will be your new name?
I'm home.
Mrs.
Jones.
There you go. Mrs. Jones. Okay, I won't sing for y'all.
Look out. Yeah. Look out for me and Mrs. Jones in the summer.
Awesome. And give us that contact one more time before I wrap up.
827-827-1171. 827-827-1171.
All right. Fantastic. All right, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in. You have been listening to your host, Dazzy. And this is Beyond the Rock. We're talking to Bahamians abroad that are doing amazing things. If you want to reach out to me directly, please go ahead and hit me up on Facebook, Odaz Lightborn Benaby, or hello@gorockstardigital.com. Thank you so much, everyone. Be safe and stick and stay. I will be back next week with another awesome interview. Thank you so much.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.